I've come to set the world, earth, on fire. And how I wish it were already blazing. All right, so first of all, we need to make it totally clear that Jesus here, he's not saying that, hey, I want to come and destroy the world and watch it burn. All right, that's not what he's saying, right? But he's using symbolism. Symbolism where we see oftentimes fire symbolized in the Bible, right? Especially see the Holy Spirit symbolized by fire. You know, because the Holy Spirit, like fire, is powerful. The Holy Spirit, like fire, it's unpredictable. And like fire, it spreads, and it affects everything it touches. And so Jesus is saying that, you know, I've come to unleash the Holy Spirit on the earth. But first, he says, first, that there's this baptism in which I must be baptized. And when he says that, he's speaking of his passion, death, and resurrection. So then it's after that, then, that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And we see this at Pentecost. Right? So at Pentecost, we've got the apostles hiding out in the upper room because they're scared. Right? And these are the people, these are the guys that Jesus is going to build the church on, right? This is the foundation of the church. And here are these guys are hiding out in the upper room because they're scared. And then it says, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and came upon them as tongues of fire. Right? There's the fire again. As tongues of fire, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes down upon them and it enters into them. And they become on fire with the Holy Spirit. And then this fire that's burning within them is then what allows them then to go out into the world and to spread the gospel. And so we have here the church, at the very beginning, the church here is on fire, and this fire, it starts to spread. And it spreads through Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and through all the ends of the earth, right? And within just a couple of hundred years, we see that the church that Jesus established, that this church is on fire. And that the earth is blazing. And that the world has been changed. The world has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the church. So now here we are, you know, almost a couple thousand years later. Maybe the question is, if Jesus were to come now, would he see that his church is still on fire? Still burning with the Holy Spirit. And I think you can definitely say that, yeah, in parts of the world, and there's areas all over where, yes, the church is on fire. It's alive. And it's exciting. But what if we asked ourselves that question? Is the Holy Spirit burning within us here at the Church of St. Peter? Is the Holy Spirit burning within you? And if not, why not? Why isn't the Holy Spirit burning within you? Because the reality is this, that if you've been confirmed, then you've received a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives within you, that the power is in you. It's in all of us. So if you're not burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit, why not? What's holding you back? St. Catherine of Siena, one of her most famous quotes says, "Be who you are meant to be, and you will set the world on fire." Be who you were meant to be, and you'll set the world on fire. So then the question then is, who are you meant to be? Who are we meant to be? And there's this reality that we all come from different places, right? We all have different gifts and talents and abilities, and God is calling us all to live our lives in some different way for him, to work for the kingdom in different ways. But from a general standpoint, who are we meant to be? I think we get a clue to this in the second reading today. In the second reading, it says to rid ourselves of all burdens and sin that clings to us, and to persevere in running the race that lies before us with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's the key. With our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's who we're meant to be. We're meant to be a people whose eyes are fixed on Jesus, so that with our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we allow Jesus to direct and to rule over our entire life. With our eyes fixed on Jesus. We're meant to be a people whose eyes are fixed on Jesus, a people who live out the gospel message And a people who see to have Jesus as the most important thing. This is who we're meant to be. But I don't think that's who we are. Not yet. We're not quite there yet. Because here's the reality. This is just the truth. Is that we can't have our eyes fixed on Jesus if our eyes are continually looking to the pleasures of the world. We can't live our lives according to the gospel message if we're more concerned about the message of the world. And we can't be a people who says that Jesus is number one, is the most important, when we have 9 or 10 other number ones constantly competing with him. That's just the truth. If we want to live our lives on fire for Jesus, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we can't have all these distractions. That's what the second reading says. It says that we need to rid ourselves of all those burdens, rid ourselves of those sins, rid ourselves of anything that keeps our that distracts us from living for Jesus. But this is not easy. This is not easy at all. Because the reality is all these things that distract us from Jesus, a lot of them, they're very important to us, right? They're things that's been part of our life for a long time, perhaps. Things that we love. Sins that we're deep into. And it can be hard to be able to rid ourselves of those things. But Jesus says that, even alludes to this in the gospel, when he says, I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring division. It says that the reality is that people, there's going to be people who will choose him, and there's going to be people who will not choose him. And we might find that those who want to live your life according to the Christian values, according to with the burning with the Holy Spirit, might find yourself at odds with those who choose against Jesus. So much so that it says that we might have mother against daughter, and father against son. That's how serious it is. The reality is that Jesus, he's not here. He's not saying that he is advocating for broken families. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's looking for. But what he's saying is he's using this as an illustration to show us just how big a deal this is. That you guys, that this is serious. I mean it. That there's something so that this is so important that you follow me. That it might mean division even within your own family. And that should open our eyes, you guys, to just how important this is to Jesus. That we choose to follow him and to keep our eyes fixed on him. It's not easy, but to live a Christian life on fire with the Holy Spirit, it could mean sacrifice. It's not easy, but the reality is this is what Jesus desires. He says, I have come to set the earth on fire. And how I wish it were already blazing. How I wish that my people would be on fire with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus desires. And really, this is what the world needs. The world needs a church filled with people who've got our eyes fixed on Jesus. The world needs a church filled with people who are on fire with the Holy Spirit. Do you know who these, have you met people like this? Have you met people like this that are so on fire with the Holy Spirit that when you come in their presence that you can feel the heat? I think about several years ago I met Father Mike Schmitz. I mean, that's the same thing. I remember just being in his presence and being, there's just something about this man that's like, you just knew there's something so, I can't even say what it is other than holiness. There's just something special about him. You knew he was on fire with the Holy Spirit. I felt the same way when I got to know Deacon Ralph or the sisters that came here over the last summer. There's just something about him. Or even Father Craig. But the reality, he's our pastor, so we can kind of, you know, not worry about him. You know, take him for granted. But there's this reality, you guys, that there's people in our life that we encounter every day that, you know, there might be this joy about them that you can just see that this person is special. Or the way that they love. or the way that they, there's a gentleness about them, or a kindness about them, or a peacefulness. All of these things I'm listing, these are all fruits of the Holy Spirit, because this is evidence of the Holy Spirit living within us. And this is what the world needs. A church filled with people so on fire with the Holy Spirit that we can feel the heat. This is what the world needs. I think St. Peter could use it too. St. Peter could use a church, our church, to be filled with people that are on fire with the Holy Spirit, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's possible. Because there's already so many people here that are already filled with the Holy Spirit. It's burning within our parish already. And we know that this Holy Spirit, like fire, it can spread. It can be unpredictable. And touch and affect everything that it touches. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us. That same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles that day, that will allow them to go out and spread the word, spread the gospel throughout the whole world. That Holy Spirit lives with each one of us. How awesome would that be, you guys? How awesome would it be if one day Jesus came down and he sang those same things and said, "Ah, I've come to set the earth on fire." But then instead he said, "But St. Peter, the church of St. Peter, that's already blazing." That can be us. That's our parish, you guys. If be who you're meant to be, and he will set the world on fire. It's not easy. In fact, it's not even possible without the grace of God. And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle on us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created. And you, Lord, shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.